Got great ideas, but no idea how to build a website? Get Bluehost. Their AI design tool creates high-quality WordPress sites super fast. Whether you're a blogger, influencer, or launching a side hustle, Bluehost helps boost your growth with built-in marketing and e-commerce tools. Upgrade to cloud to get 100% uptime and 24/7 security to stay online all the time. Why wait? You've got the vision. Make it real. Visit Bluehost.com to get started.
Lowe's knows you want to get even more value for the holiday. That's why as a My Lowe's Rewards member, you get new member deals on holiday decor, tools, and more. And you earn points when you shop. More points equal more rewards to help you save on holiday and more. Not a member? Join for free today at Lowe's.com/MyLowe's Rewards. Because Lowe's knows deals. Program subject to terms and conditions. Points are awarded on eligible purchases. See Lowe's.com/terms for full details. Subject to change.
The other rights remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. You have a right to an attorney prior to or during any question. If you can't afford one, the court will appoint one for you. Do you understand your rights?
When the wolf is at your door,
this episode of Real Life, Real Crime, the podcast, may contain descriptions of acts of violence or that of a sexual nature and should be for people that are 18 years or older. Heed my warning, people. I do not get the facts of these cases off of the internet or from some television show. The facts I'm retelling you were presented to me by the victims of the crimes or the perpetrators who committed the crimes against the victims. My descriptions of the crime scenes, what I saw with my own two eyes. If you're going to get offended, please turn this podcast off now. Thank you. Hello, everybody, and welcome to this episode of Real Life, Real Crime, the podcast. As always, I'm your host, Woody Overton. And again, I know it's a long-ass series, but the story has to be told. It's scorched, the state versus Peterson, Scott Peterson, right? But I'm telling you, we're both sides fucked up and why it's this case is scorched and why we're still talking about it all these years later. And there's so much bad on both sides. I really don't know how they ever got a conviction. But in the last episode, I basically told you about Amber Fry and yeah, that's pretty damaging. No matter how you look at it, Scott's actions were, you know, scorched. And of course, he tried to downplay the relationship, et cetera, right? So real quick on the Apple Podcast thing, y'all, if you didn't get the notifications for past scorched episodes, you should have them now. You can listen to them. We believe we got that straight. Or as always, you can go to the App Store and download the Real Life Real Crime Community app for free, and it has all the episodes in there, and you'll never miss one that away. But there was a screw up with our podcast, and hopefully it's fixed now, and we're moving on. So back to the case. Now I'm gonna start abbreviating some of it, because it's just, I mean, I'm gonna tell you about it, but cut it down some on some of this stuff, and we're still on the prosecution side, y'all. And the next prosecution witness is number 105. His name is Stephen Jacobson, and he's the Stanislaus County District Attorney Investigator. So he gets on the stand, and he testifies that he did two tests to determine where Scott was at when he made that 10:08 a.m. call on the 24th, December 24th. So this investigator drives from the house to the warehouse. He did it three different routes, okay, testing it each way. And they go into all the detail on the streets he turned and all that. I'm not going to tell you that. But he called a person that was using a stopwatch and was on the phone in precisely 1 minute and 21 seconds, which is the exact same amount of time that Scott's call was, right? So then Jacobson goes on to explain how wiretaps work and how they record to WAV files, and these files have to be married, blah, 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 whatever. And talks about his training. And but Jacobson says he monitored, this is kind of scores, and I don't know why the prosecution would say it other than the defense was going to bring it up. Jacobson says he monitored the calls between Amber and Scott, and he didn't trust Amber and thought there was a conspiracy between them. She wasn't recording all the calls between them. Now, Jacobson continued to be suspicious until a week before his testimony, when Detective Bueller convinced him that Amber Fry was being honest. scorched as fuck. I mean, I'm playing on the same team, I guess. And the prosecutor's like, bro, you can't get up there. You're our investigator. You can't get up there and say that you think there is conspiracy. That's going to give them reasonable doubt. So that is scorched as fuck. And, you know, there's so many, I mean, things that Jacobson entered as exhibits for the jury. It's just ridiculous, the length of the list, okay? So let's go to Monday, August the 30th, 2004. And they call Jason Tardiff with Enterprise Rent-A-Car, and that's going to be about Scott renting the cars to go watch the bay for a couple minutes at a time, and he didn't know he was being followed. And they call Witness 107, who was Christopher Boyer, a Contra Costa County search and rescue team, and he gave testimony about searching for Lacey and baby Connor. And then we go to Tuesday, August 31st, and they call Christopher Boyer again. He continues his testimony. Then they call prosecution witness number 108, Eloise Anderson, who is Trembler's handler. Now, Trembler, y'all, is the search dog they use at the Berkeley Marina, and they would have had to go through all the qualifications and how it works and all that stuff. It took the whole day. So then you go to Wednesday, September the 1st, 2004, and they call Elise Anderson again, Trembler's handler, and she continues to testify, all right? And then she gets done. And they call prosecution witness number 109, Alexandra Bettis, who's with Modesto PD, and all that she did was, or he did, was introduce some diagrams that were the blow up of the Berkeley Marina, the area that Trembler, the dog, searched. And then they called prosecution witness number 110, Randy Bollinger with Modesto PD, witness number 111, Dale Lingerfeld with Modesto PD, witness number 112, Mark Wingland, Modesto PD, and number 113, Jeff McCain, who is this California Department of Justice special agent. And y'all, it's just, they're just piling on shit. Now, if I'm on a jury at a certain point, it's going to be too much, right? But they continue. They call number 114, prosecution witness 114, Brian Cardell, who's another DOJ agent. And they call prosecution witness number 115, Christopher Perry, who's with the Stanislaus County Drug Enforcement Unit, and prosecution witness number 116, Bill Pooley with Modesto PD. I'm trying to hurry. Prosecution witness number 117, Thomas Chaplin, Modesto PD. Prosecution witness number 118, Jill Henry, Stanislaus County Drug Enforcement Unit. And the prosecution witness number 119, Tara Ferris, who's another DOJ special agent. All right, moving on. Let's go to Tuesday, September the 7th, 2004. And they call prosecution witness number 120 and number 21. 120 being Officer Erica Beffa, Modesto PD, and 121 being Detective Paul Mears of the San Juan Woken County Sheriff's Deputy. Now, these two witnesses said that they told about the follow-up on the Tracy tip that was sent in to the California Highway Patrol on the tip line. And that y'all, this tip said, I told you about this earlier, but the tip said that a pregnant woman who looked like Lacey was being held hostage at a rural setting near Tracy with two white houses and an old abandoned pickup. So Beffa goes to find the houses, but she can't find them. Okay. And, or he, Beffa is a he, and he can't find. So he's like, well, you know what? Let me call the local dude, which is Paul Mears with the sheriff's office. And they go out and they look, and he's familiar with the area. This is his patrol area. And well, guess what? They weren't able to find the houses as the woman described in the tip, but they continue to follow up on it in all the rural areas that he was familiar with. And it led them to a compound, which was a flop house for drug users. Now, when they get there, this is actually, I think, good. This part on the cops' side is they're actually following it up, right? So what they do, they can't just bust up in a compound and look and shit. He calls in a helicopter that has a thermal imaging system on it, or a heat sensor, right? And the helicopter flies overhead, and this heat is detected in some of the buildings, meaning, I don't know if you can say that it's humans or not, but the heat source is most likely going to be humans. And Mears calls his supervisor and says, look, we got some, you know, heat signatures in the buildings. And the supervisor's like, fuck it, don't go into the compound. Well, that part of scores. You know, they could have did a knock and talk and just said, just so they could say, hey, this is a murder case. We're following up on a tip. And I'm sure they were drug users and some may have ran or whatever. But what you do in a situation like that is you tell them, say, look, I'm not here to sweat you about your dope. I'm here to see if Lacey, pregnant woman, is being held hostage, right? But they didn't do it, which leaves it scorched for the defense to say that this tip was valid and you didn't disprove it, right? So, moving on, prosecution witness number 122, Terry Western, who is a friend of Lacey's, and she says that she last saw Lacey on December 14th at the Christmas party, the same one that Lacey's by herself because Scott's off banging Amber Fry. And she said Lacey said Scott had to go, I guess, to San Francisco because his boss flew in and he had to meet with him. And Lacey said she felt tired and her feet were swollen. And sparked something uncommon this holiday with just the right gift from Uncommon Goods. The busy holiday season is here, and Uncommon Goods makes it less stressful with incredible hand-picked gifts for everyone on your list, all in one spot. Gifts to spark joy, wonder, delight, and that's exactly what I want it feeling. Hey, y'all, I ordered a super cool piece. It's a candle with a sculpture of LSU Tiger Stadium on top of it. And each officially licensed laser cut wooden replica features up to four layers of detail, creating a bird's eye view of a specific football field, seating section, and more. And every label includes your stadium's name, the team's logo, and school location. And it has a coconut, soy, vegan wax infused with sandalwood smell that creates tailgates and touchdown scent profile, reminiscent of game day. It's invigorating like fresh cut grass and nostalgic like smoke from a pre-game grill. In common, like the crisp autumn air of a new semester on campus. Y'all, I love it. I have it at the base of my TV, and I'm ready to watch the Tigers play on Saturday night, right? Uncommon Goods. Look, when you shop at Uncommon Goods, you're supporting artists and small independent businesses. And many of their handcrafted products are made in small batches. So shop now before they sell out this holiday season. Uncommon Goods looks for products that are high quality, unique, and often handmade or made in the U.S. They have the most meaningful, out-of-the-ordinary gifts anywhere. They even have gifts you can personalize. From holiday hosts and hostess gifts to the coolest finds for kids to hits for everyone from the book lovers to diehard sports fans, Uncommon Goods has something for everyone, not the same old selection you can just find anywhere. And with every purchase you make at Uncommon Goods, they give $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice. They've donated more than $3 million to date. So to get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/RLRC. That's uncommongoods.com/RLRC for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary. Hey, y'all, let me tell you about Gobble. All Gobble meal kits are pre-prepped. That means less work for you and less waste in your kitchen. Their meal kits include everything you need so you can save time at the store or just skip that trip entirely. I got the box in and I had three different meals. I had a Kung Pao chicken, crispy fish tacos, and a beef bourguignon, however you say it. But let me tell you about the classic beef bourguignon. Look, it came with beef pot roast and a beef broth concentrate, red wine demi-glace, cremini mushrooms, cipollone onions, mashed potatoes, baby carrots, and rosemary thyme butter. It was so easy to make. Literally like 15 minutes it took Cindy. And let me tell you something, all the dishes were fire. But this thing was like a taste explosion in my mouth. It's just unreal. We've got to spend more time together and more time doing the things we love because everything came in this one single box right to my door. So see what a difference Gobble will make for your household. Right now, they're offering my listeners a fantastic limited time deal. You get $120 off across four boxes, plus free shipping and free cookies. And let me tell you, those cookies, I ate one that was sin-baked and it was delicious. Go to gobble.com/real life. That's gobble.com/real life for $120 off your first four boxes. This offer is not available on the home site, so don't miss out. This is genius. It's taste explosions in your mouth like you never had.
The attorney joke said, well, duh, you were in high heels. And Western said that Lacey always liked to dress nice, right? Not the attorney, y'all. That her friend is joking with her. Look, like, you're big pregnant. You're wearing high heels. That's why your feet hurt. But she said that, you know, she did it because she liked to dress nice. And I get that. And on January 14th, when the friend Western went to the volunteer center early that morning, she saw Scott and he appeared visibly upset and he was answering emails. Now she asked what the problem was and he said he wanted to talk to her about selling the house. Now why? Score, Scott, you're fucking being stupid. And when I asked why, he says, because he couldn't have Lacey come back there. Strange. So Western says, well, you know, Scott, this is not the time to be doing that, right? And it's not. Dude's not thinking straight. So on cross, the defense attorney Garagos notes that Lee and Jackie Peterson each donated $15,000. As a gift to help Scott and Lacey pay down the payment on their house when they purchased it. And her friend Western was the realtor that they bought the house through. And Western is the person who arranged with the red line that, remember where the volunteer center was, y'all? And she was the person that got the red line to open up the volunteer center there on December 26th, and she is the person who decided to close it when she heard about Amber. Okay. And Garagos brings out that she was interviewed by Detective John Bueller on December 28th, and he asked Western to call him if she saw any disloyalty in the family. I guess, you know, he's trying to throw shade on her for closing. Garagos is trying to throw shade. I don't think that's really one way or another, other than Scott fucked up. I mean, your wife and baby are missing, and you're talking to the realtor about selling the house because Lacey can't come back there. This is the shit that you're not going to hear anywhere else. So prosecution calls witness number 123, who is Roger Content, or Auto Sales. Now, Content said that he did the deal when Scott traded in the Land Rover for a used Dodge Dakota pickup truck. And Scott received $7,500 on the Rover, which had 75,000 miles, compared to the new, it was a used Dakota pickup truck that only had 35,000 miles. And the net sales price was less than the trade-in value, which was $11,000. Now, Content came to court, and he had all the paperwork for the sale, but he didn't have anything to document it, the Rover's condition. And whatever, it's neither here nor there. I mean, you're getting rid of your wife's Land Rover, kind of scorched, but not that big of a deal. So then the prosecution calls witness number 124, Sarah Yoshida, who's the senior criminalist for the California Department of Justice. Now, she was given the job of examining the needle nose pliers that I told y'all about that were found in the boat and a pair of wire cutters. And she was to determine if they were used to cut some chicken wire Scott had. The tests, she says, were negative. So Yoshida testifies the pliers had not been used since the rust started to form. And because there were no clean marks, which occur when rust is wiped away when you use it for a new cutting. So she said that no, those weren't used for that. So she said that she swabbed both of the tools, and that's usually done to detect blood and other trace evidence. But the swabs were never tested, y'all, and are still at her lab. Scorched. Why not test it? It's a murder case, right? And Yoshida's other job was to do a chemical analysis on two items of plastic material that were brought in as evidence. And her test concluded they were polyethylene or similar product, and Garagos, the defense attorney, brought out that it is frequently used as shrink wrap. And he noted that the target plastic found near Lacey's body was a shrink wrap for pallets. Okay. And they introduced a bunch of exhibits. All right, let's move on to prosecution witness number 125, Mr. Jeffrey Baer, who's the head diver and for the Marina Search and Rescue Team. All right, so Baer was captain of one of the boats with the side scan sonar I told you all about that conducted the searches between the 15th and the 17th on the bay. And they did it in December, January, February, March, April, and May. Now, his boat did the searches in the areas of the pier pilings in the Berkeley Marina, from Brooks Island to Point Isabel. And he said he had to stop the search at certain points because the water wasn't deep enough. Right? I mean, if the water's that shallow, then probably the body would have been sticking out. But anyway, they searched the Richmond Shipping Channel and the Southampton Shoal. And Baer says, he tells all about the problems that they had with black water, wind, waves, currents, and tidal surge. And he also explained what it's like to do a grid search. And I can tell you about that another day. So you can say you didn't miss anything. So Garagos gets up and he says, look, the size scan sonar with the hydroid system that was used later. And Garagos said literally They mapped the bay floor of the high probability area, and they found a bunch of very small items. You see where this is going? You didn't find Lacey. Bear said that a 5'8" item showed only as 1/4-inch object on the screen of the side sonar computer. So it could never see such small items. So now he's getting contradicted his own testimony. And Bear wouldn't say, he wouldn't state that nothing of evidentiary value was found because he said he was not the one who determined what evidence was and what evidence wasn't, right? So they would basically, he'd find shit and anything he'd find, he'd hand it over to the cops and they would make that determination. And you might hear some rain on the roof, and it's raining for the first time in a month. But continuing, prosecution witness number 126, Mr. Kevin Bartolotto, who's with the district attorney's office. And he testifies about the various waterways in Modesto area with boat launch ramps where Scott could have gone fishing on that day, December 24. And he identified about a dozen places that were all much shorter than the 90-mile trip to the Berkeley Marina. Well, I get it. And, you know, you're going to test out a brand new boat. I said this before, for the first time, you're not taking that fucker in the ocean. That is scorched. And, but if you don't want to get rid of a body, you want to go to the ocean and not those local bodies of water. So move on to Wednesday, September the 8th, 2004, and the prosecution witness number 127, who is Mark Purdom, a property manager. Now, Purdom's property managed company leased the space on North Emerald to Trade Corps, and lease, well, I'm not going to go into all y'all when the lease expired and all that shit, and they entered into evidence the January 13th, 2003 letter that Scott sent to request an early termination of the lease. And Purdom was like, I didn't grant it. And early March the 31st of 2003, termination was worked out with Trade Corps through some local attorneys. And defense attorney Garagos said, or got into the record, that Scott paid the rent on the space for March and April with his own personal money, and that Trade Corps, as early as October of 2002, had wanted to lease with American Warehouse in Fresno and basically move their headquarters. Neither here nor there, really, other than, I guess they're trying to say, maybe Scott, you know, was continuing to lease it because there was something there that was going to fuck him up. So, next, prosecution witness number 128, Karen Korsberg with the FBI Laboratory Trace Evidence Unit, and prosecution witness number 129, Kimberly Rebush with FBI Laboratory Trace Evidence Unit. And Korsberg testifies that she did the trace evidence analysis of the two hairs that Modesto PD says were found in the pliers in Scott's boat. Now, the longer of the two hairs was labeled Cube 1. She compared this hair with Scott's head hair and the hair from Lacey's black-blue hairbrush. Scott was excluded, and the hair from the brush was consistent with Q1. Okay, so defense Garagos asked what if questions to suggest that we have no guarantee that the hair from that brush was Lacey's. And he referred to the pubic hair found on the tape attached to Lacey's remains, which was not tested to see if it was Lacey's. And I told y'all about this last time. Fucking test the hairs, man. You're already testing two. You found a pubic hair on duct tape that was stuck to her body that had been in the bay all the time. Why not just rule it out? It's scorched. if we wouldn't even be talking about this shit. And now, after 20 fucking years, this is what's getting this case reopened, and the judge ordered it be tested. You know why? Because it's scorched. It should have been tested the first time. It's fucking stupid. All right, prosecution witness number 130, Constance Fisher with the FBI laboratory DNA unit. She says she performed the DNA test on, I'm not going to bore you with all the bullshit, but basically on the hairs on the pliers. And she explained the basics of the DNA and the difference between nuclear DNA and mitochondrial DNA. She explained the testing process and the measures they take to eliminate shit. And she said that the tests were completed by comparing, by comparing a blood sample from Scott and a cheek swab from Sharon Rocha, right? Because they have, they could do the familiar DNA to prove it was Lacey. Now, she said her opinion is that Scott is excluded and that Lacey cannot be excluded. There you go. Reasonable doubt coming up, right? With all the other shit, flop houses you didn't investigate, sex offenders you didn't investigate, one motherfucker confesses to it, the robbery across the street, the burglary across the street and all that, whatever. She then puts the sequence to the database used by the FBI, and it gave a 1 in 112 rate occurrence among Caucasians. Well, Gergos didn't challenge any of the integrity of the test, but he did state that he, to the jury through his question of y'all, the FBI agent, that the tests do not prove the hair was Lacey's. She just couldn't be excluded, just like I had said before. And it would have been good for Modesto PD to have the pubic hair found on the tape on Lacey's body tested. Told y'all that before. And he says, with emphasis on the rigorous practices followed by the FBI lab when handling hair, practices that were obviously not followed by the evidence room in Modesto PD. So he throws shade, shows where Modesto PD scorched the handling of the evidence, where the FBI, when they got it, they treated it like it should have been treated. Scorched, win one for Gergos. All right. Prosecution witness number 131, Niels Myers, who's an eBay investigation team. And Myers provides information about Scott's account with eBay, specifically the items he listed for sale. And he points out the two times Scott offered the diamond bezel Croton watch for sale. The last time he received a high bid of $100. Now, Gergos gets up on cross and he said, hey, that transaction didn't conclude in a sale. And in fact, the bidder purchased another watch on eBay. And Gergos listed a number of watches Scott offered for sale, which included a Mickey Mouse watch, which was the only one that he actually sold. And Myers explained that the double listing for the Croton watch was simply Scott extending the auction, right? So your time's up and you hadn't got your results, so you extended by however many more days. And he said the first period was from December the 1st to the 8th, and the second from December the 8th to the 15th. Now, Gergos, he emphasizes that the pictures placed with the product description are furnished by the seller, indicating that Scott and Lacey had pictures of the watch. Really neither here nor there. Just both sides, well, basically prosecution throwing anything against the wall and might make somebody go, hmm, or might that might be the straw that broke the camel's back. But what? So moving on, prosecution witness number 132, Christopher Van Sant, who's a bicyclist. Now, Van Sant said he was riding his bike in the Dry Creek Park near the foot of the bridge at Coffee and near Scenic Hospital, and he saw a pregnant woman walking a dog. And when a friend told him about the missing pregnant woman, he said he called the Modesto Police Department Christmas morning and eventually got to speak with Detective Brocchini.
Hey, ladies, are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? Well, you're definitely not alone.
There are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors living in our environment right now. It's in your food, your water, the air you breathe, the clothes you wear, your skincare products. They all mess with your hormones. Then there's the natural hormone changes your body goes through, premenopause, menopause. And while it's a natural process, it doesn't mean you have to suffer through it. The good news is you don't have to suffer through it anymore because now you have Hormone Harmony, a formula made only with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Hormone Harmony is not just a hormone support and supplement. It's become a phenomenon. Women can't stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. And the biggest benefit? Well, my wife says it makes her feel like her own self again. And that's what women mention over and over in the reviews. And there are over 30,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony. And for a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use code RLRC at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code RLRC for 15% off today. That's happymammoth.com and use code RLRC. Hey, y'all. Changing my wardrobe from summer to fall? It's never easy. Luckily, Quince offers timeless and high-quality items I adore, ensuring my wardrobe stays fresh and I don't blow my budget. And there's nothing easier than going to Quince and choosing these high-quality items, like cashmere sweaters from $50, pants for every occasion, washable silk tops, and so much more. The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes, and I love that. I got the stainless steel Link Apple Watch band for $59.90. It's heavy duty, it's awesome, and it's like $100 less than I could find anywhere else. And I also got a 100% organic cotton fisherman quarter zip up sweater. The color is alabaster. Man, I can't wait to wear that this fall. And Cindy got the Mongolian cashmere boat neck sweater in heather gray. And I'm telling you, these are classic pieces at a fraction of the price. Make switching seasons a breeze with Quince's high-quality closet essentials. Go to quince.com/RLRC for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/RLRC to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/RLRC. You'll thank me later.
Later that evening, he saw a picture of Lacey and knew it wasn't her he saw. And he called Brocchini to report that it wasn't Lacey. Okay, this is prosecution getting out in front of this witness, right? Now, Garagos gets up and they ask about Brocchini's reaction to Van Sant's tip. And Brocchini wrote in his reports and told the Modesto B newspaper that he didn't show Van Sant a picture of Lacey because Van Sant said he didn't see her face. And Van Sant called the Modesto B and said he did see the woman's face. And that's how he knew it wasn't Lacey. Now, Brocchini also said that Van Sant was in Monterey when he called him, when in fact he was in Manassea. And Van Sant characterized Brocchini's response to his first call as a brush off. Come on, man. Brocchini, bro, I know you seeking confirmational bias and shit, but I bet you got your dick got hard when you get a guy that calls in and says he saw a pregnant woman that morning when he's riding his bike walking a dog, and that's what's supposed to happen, but you're already so far into disproving that there wasn't that, you brush it off. That, and you just should have wrote it right, bro. That's a fuck up, and you know it's a fuck up. It's scorched. So, prosecution calls witness number 133, Martin Dimpywolf. Now, Dimpywolf's wife was 9 months pregnant on December the 24th, and she was walking her dog, a chocolate lab in the Dry Creek Park that day. Now, he said she left between 9:15 and 9:30, and the walk took about 45 to 60 minutes. And she would walk through subdivisions to La Loma, where the park, where their house is, y'all, and enter the park. And she walked through the park to the paved path and continued to Edgebrook to Covina, down to Covina to Encina, then home. Well, Gargos gets up and he reviews the statements that he gave back in January of 04 and indicating he couldn't specify the time that she took the walk. In response to the question, he replied, "My wife has a good memory. I don't." So, I think the prosecution puts on there to try to get, because they knew Gargos was going to put the motherfucker on there and say, your wife was walking in the park at that time, or, you know, I don't know. Maybe the prosecution's doing to try to dispel all these different people that say they saw her, right? And so, prosecution calls witness 134, Jordan Visla Prescott, who's a pregnant neighbor, and witness number 135, Elizabeth Gooptill, who's a pregnant neighborhood walker, and prosecution number, witness number 136, Jill Lear, who's a pregnant neighborhood walker. Look, they had some babies making up going on over there, y'all. And these three women were all pregnant on December 24th of 2002, and they lived in the neighborhood in La Loma, and they regularly walked. Prescott couldn't say with certainty that she walked on the morning of the 24th, and the other two were certain they did not walk that morning. And when Prescott did walk, she pulled her daughter along in a red wagon, and her dog is a lab mix. Now, Gooptill said when she walked, she often was pushing her son in a jogging stroller, and she didn't have a dog. And Lear's dog was an Australian Shepherd, and she usually walked in the afternoons. And Prescott at the time was 2.5 months pregnant with twins, and Gooptill was 5 months pregnant, and Lear was 6.5 months pregnant on December 24, 2002. And trying to prove it was Lacey or it wasn't Lacey, right? So, y'all, Thursday, September 9th, 2004, the court exhibit 22. It's a letter, and it's marked for identification and ordered sealed by the court and to be opened only by order of the court. I don't know what the fuck that's about. So, then the prosecution calls witness number 126, investigator Kevin Bertolotto. And this is a cross-examination, shall he returns. And through his questions, Harris emphasized that Scott prefers seawater fishing to freshwater fishing. And the bay is the closest seawater fishing to Modesto. And he also brought up that the freshwater lakes are much deeper than the bay where Scott went fishing. It's like one of them was 600 feet deep, y'all. And that they are more remote and rural, and they are lacking the boat berths and or 4 to 5 mile bike jogging paths. And it's suggesting they would have been better places to dump a body. Now, Bertolotto answered that the boat launch ramps for these lakes can be backed up to, and he has been to the Berkeley Marina when it was quite deserted, and he admitted that it was unlikely the lakes were very busy on Christmas Eve. And I guess you could have dumped the body closer by the lake. But if I'm dumping it and there's not an alligator in the lake, I'm not dumping that motherfucker. Dumping an ocean where there's sharks. But that's neither here nor there. All right. Prosecution witness number 137, Kim Westerfall Covina Walker. Now, Westfall says she routinely walks a route that takes her from Edgebrook down Covina to Encina. Look, right past Peterson's home. Y'all, all these people, you know, certainly has something to do with the area that Lacey walked in. She testifies that she did take her walk on December 24th, 2002, and arrived at Covina about 10:50 a.m., and she didn't see anything out of the ordinary. However, she didn't agree with what she told officers going door to door on the night of the 24th. So her testimony went against that. She had told them she couldn't be sure she walked down Covina that morning, and her testimony contradicted what she told her neighbor and her mom about her activities on the morning of the 24th. So, and West Tafal walked with another woman, Dana Evans, and we'll get to her, I guess, they call her everybody else in the world. So, prosecution witness number 138, Patricia Meweeny, who's a park walker. Basically, she just testifies she walked her dog the morning of December 24th and to the tennis courts, to the golf course and back again. And she said it was cold and damp that morning, and she wore a winter coat, and she didn't see anything out of the ordinary. All right. Prosecution witness number 139, Brian Lee. Lee said he ran his usual run along the park's bike trail on the morning of December 24th, and he left his home at 10 a.m. He said he would have arrived at the Covina Trail about 15 minutes later. He said the weather was cold, so he wore sweats instead of his shorts, and he didn't see anyone on the bike trail. Now, Garagos points out that his testimony disagreed with the information he gave when interviewed the summer before. And that testimony, he told police he took his run sometime before noon, sometime between 10 and 11:30, and he runs with his chocolate lab, right? Okay. This is court, y'all. It's real shit. Prosecution witness number 140, Joan Lee, who's the wife, I'm not even going to tell y'all about her. She's the wife of that other dude, but she was 4.5 months pregnant. Says she walked with her husband and their dog in the evenings. And they walked on the evening of the 24th. Whatever. Prosecution witness number 141, Diane Heaston Miranda, another walker. And she's blonde with a golden retriever. She lived in the neighborhood. She would walk early in the morning around 7 a.m. and go into the park and back and whatever the fuck, and walk easily took her 20 to 30 minutes, and she was certain she did not walk on the 24th, and I don't even know why they're calling her, but they said she wasn't pregnant on December 24th, so she couldn't be mistaken for Lacey. Prosecution, I mean, they're fucking way overdoing it, y'all. I get saying test all the hairs and interview these tips that come in and stuff like this, but these motherfuckers, you went out and found every motherfucker that ever set foot in the park. I mean, some of it's just not relevant. It's just not. But you're trying to say, I guess, that Lacey wasn't in the park. A little bit overkill on my part. I mean, if I was in a jury, I'd be trying to stay awake. It's probably like y'all trying to stay awake now. Prosecution witness 143, Amy Newman, another pregnant woman. She says she didn't walk on the 24th, and she was introduced to Lacey when Lacey was making a traffic study video for the Encina Street Project. And her dog is a poodle. She was pregnant at the time and under doctor's order to rest with her feet up in the afternoons. She lay on a couch, blah, 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 whatever. Prosecution witness number 144. Lee Peterson. Now, Peterson was questioned about his communications with Scott prior to December 24th and his conversation with Scott on the 24th, in which Scott did not tell him he was fishing or he had bought a boat. He was also asked what weapons were taken along during a previous pheasant hunting trip, and he said he didn't recall seeing Scott with a handgun during that trip. Peterson said they gave Scott $30,000 for the Del Rio membership, I guess to the country club. that Scott's mother made the arrangements and you found out about it later. I don't know what that is, y'all. I might be misspeaking. But prior to December 24, the last time he had gone fishing with Scott was that summer in July or August. And Peterson says Scott is the fisherman where he is usually the golfer. And naturally, y'all, this is his brother. So under Cross, Peterson says Scott's early interest in fishing over golfing, and that when he went to the golf course, Jackie, Scott's mom, would take him and the other boys to fish. Scott also went ocean fishing a lot with others his age and when he got older. And he goes on and talks about going to visit Scott one time and seeing a boat and two motorcycles that he didn't know Scott had bought. And Scott paid his own way through college. Now, Lee describes the trip to Carmel and the walk he and Jackie and Scott and Lacey took from the hotel to the beach, a route that included a steep incline and had them all puffing, but they all made it to the top, including Lacey. I guess they're saying that she's pregnant, she could have been in the park. He said that Jackie and Lacey did a lot of shopping that trip and made several purchases that morning. This, you know, I got to do something about this because this, you know what I'm going to do before next week? No, I can't because this is important. There's little nuggets in almost each one of them. Either it scores one way or the other. And so I guess I'm just going to keep telling it. And we're about to get into some really dramatic moments like the Diane Sawyer interview and, you know, the shit about the concrete and forensic pathologists about the autopsy, and it's just so much shit. But if I leave something out to expedite this series so we can get back to the real life, real crime, original cop stories, then I'm not doing Lacey and Connor justice, and I'm going to continue it by hook or crook. But y'all tune in to our new True Crime Time for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. This is a new show I host with Cindy. We cover crime topics and, you know, a lot of husband and wife banter back and forth. Got a bunch of new segments on it. I think you'll enjoy it. I actually like listening to it, and it's pretty cool. But more importantly, hashtag justice for Haley. Y'all, the series is Justice for Haley, and next week it's going to get so much more graphic, and I hate that for the family, but they know it's coming. I've talked to Miss Barbara in length and her daughter, her daughter's girlfriend, a lot about it, and there's nothing nice about Haley being murdered, and some shit's got to be told. Some shit's got to be shown. All the videos, all the stuff that I'm editing out, not gory stuff, but like on this one that you got last week or just this past week that we dropped earlier, you know, I took out several minutes of the cops video when he's standing around his car and shit like that. Well, that's all up for Patreon and convicts, the subscribers. And there's going to be a lot of stuff that I'm going to put in there that I can't talk about on the episodes just because it wouldn't make any sense for me to try to describe a picture, or maybe I will, I don't know. But there's so many hours and hours and hours of interview interrogations and stuff like that I'm going to have to cut some of it out. But everybody for free will get the story. All right. But if you want to see the rest of the stuff, and I will have more up this week, I'm going to post those things for patrons and convicts behind the wall. And you have to promise you're not going to share them. I will post it as the story goes along. I'm not going to get out of chronological order because if I gave you everything right now, you'd just be like, holy fuck. And we want to tell the story in order, and you're already pissed off. You got pissed off about the 911 call. You got pissed off about this last one. We'll wait until you see what's coming in the coming weeks. It's very important. And y'all, when you go and comment about it and everything, I love that. And the more you comment it, more it makes people want to hear Haley's story, all right? And we need everybody in the world to hear it so they can get pissed off. And then for this time, I'm not against the cops. I mean, I'm not saying they do some stupid shit like on the young cops saying stupid shit or whatever, but that's cop shit. But as far as the work that was done in the case, most of it, I'm not going against that, but we're going against the outcome, and we're going to try to do, well, we're going to do a call to action. We'll try to get the proper result. Okay. So tune into that. Thank the Lord. The election is over. I hope we can come together as United America now. You know, I'm an independent man. I want America to rock. And let's just everybody come together. People have spoken. It is what it is. Let's try to make some changes and make all our lives better. And Louisiana Organ Procurement Agency, LOPA, you know it's my jam. And they save lives every day. They're a nonprofit. They best people in the world. I'm an organ donor. Please, if you want to be an organ donor, be a hero. Go sign up. Go to LOPA.org. It takes like 2 minutes. You don't have to be from Louisiana. You can be a lifer from Kent, Ohio, if that's even such a place. Just go to LOPA.org, take 2 minutes, fill it out, become a hero, give the gift of life and sight and all that great shit that those people do. And I'm Woody Overton, your host of Real Life, Real Crime, the podcast. Again, one more time real quick, the drop schedules are going to be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, True Crime Time 4, Friday, Justice for Haley, Saturday, Real Life, Real Crime Original. And I'm your host, Woody Overton. Till next time or ever, don't let me catch you down on Murder Bayou. Peace.
Yeah, the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. You have a right to an attorney prior to or during any question. If you can't afford one, the court will appoint one for you. Do you understand your rights?
Is at your door. Your running's over, that's for sure. He already knows all about you. Cut you down on Murder Bayou. Now you better walk the line.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my side softer?
Can I make my side firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. And now, during our Black Friday sale, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed. Plus special financing. Limited time. To find a store near you, visit sleepnumber.com.